Very good morning to you, my dear listeners. It's a Friday morning, and it's only one day before we say goodbye to May month, and only one day left before we get right in the middle. In the middle of the year, right? In the middle of the year. So, good morning to you, wherever you find yourself this morning. And some of you are going back to work today. And if you find yourself on the road, please do buckle up and make sure that you drive within the limit of the law and don't transgress. Yeah, don't transgress, you know, follow the rules, so that you save the life of other people's as well. So good morning to you and welcome to, Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshavili. This is the show where we dive deep into the stories, event and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking. It's about you. Share your thoughts, opinion, and perspective on the topic that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So what we have today is the 30th of May. The year is 2025. So, and in our segment for, on this day in Africa, what do we have, in Africa? On this day in Africa, so on May 30th in 1966, Evariste Kiba, the former prime minister of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, along with three other politicians, was publicly executed in Kinshasa. So they were accused of plotting a coup against President Joseph Mobutu. And this event marked a significant moment in Congo's post-independence political turmoils. The other event that we have on this day, on the 30th of May in 1967, Lieutenant Colonel Odumegwu Ojukwu, declared the independence of southeastern region of Nigeria as the Republic of Biafra. So this secession led to the Nigerian Civil War, also known as the Biafran War. So which lasted until 1970 and resulted in a significant humanitarian crisis, including actually a widespread famine. So that's what we have for our segment of on this day in Africa. And what is the day? What is the thought for the day on the 30th of May? So if a donkey kicks you and you kick back, you are both donkeys. If the donkey kicks you and you kick back, you are both donkeys. So this proverb cautions against lowering oneself to the level of someone who acts irrationally or offensively. So by responding in kind, you mirror your behavior, thereby compromising your own integrity and wisdom. So this proverb aligns with the broader theme found in many cultures that advises against engaging with foolishness. For instance, a similar sentiment is expressed in the saying, "Don't argue with a fool. People watching might not be able to tell the difference." So, in essence, the Proverbs encourages thoughtful responses over impulse reactions, promoting wisdom and self-control in the face of provocations. So, our thought of the day, if a donkey kicks you and you kick back, you are both donkeys. And for you today, maybe what you need to think before you start arguing, don't argue with a fool. People watching might not be able to tell the difference. So maybe that could be the thought, your guidance for the day today. That is our thought for the day. A very good morning. If you just joining us, wherever you are, Eagle FM is with you. That's right. Accessible anytime, anywhere. All you need to do is to have, you know, a mobile phone, a smartphone, and you are instantly connected to the news, your favorite shows, and also so much more on Eagle FM app. What you need to do is just download the Eagle FM mobile app on your Google Play and the App Store, and then you are definitely good to go. And if you want to stay in the know with business news, economic news, laws, and the events that are taking place, the latest policy development, anything at all, so you can grab your digital copy of the Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So all you need to do, I sent a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-200-4144. So all you need to do, and just send your name and email address on that number, 081-200-4144, and you get this digital copy of the Villager for free, absolutely free. So why don't you want to do that? What are you waiting for? So great news. And the edition one, the today's publication, today's edition one is already out. Do please subscribe so that you can get this news on every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for you. So, and if you are a business person or someone you want to advertise or promote your event, whatever it is, and we are making it easier than ever to grow your business or to promote your business or your event. So our complementary apps, those we have, the Imba and also Eagle FM, mobile app. These are perfect for you really boosting your product and also services, to a wide range of customers and audience. So, and don't forget our social media platform. They are some of the most active in the country and giving you really a perfect space to elevate, your brand or your product, so that it can be visible. So if you want to promote or advertise your business, contact us at 083-288-4000. 083-288-4000. So welcome. This is Eagle FM and you are tuned into Unpacking the Days. Thanks for joining us. We love being in your company. So when we come back, we get into our first item on the show this morning. Stay tuned. We will be back for sure.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, Don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha utekirwa kabona imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisamwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seita nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende kimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara hetatu imu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome to Eagle FM, and this is your number one talk radio station in the land of the brave. Wherever you're listening us from, welcome, and thanks for joining us. As I said, we really love being in your company, and thank you for making us your number one choice this very morning. And how's the morning in your region or wherever you find yourself in your town? So in some areas, it's actually getting colder and colder. It's a bit different on this side. Sometime in the morning, it's nice and cool. But when it's get around, 10 o'clock, when it's get already around 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, ooh, you start sweating already. Yeah. So yeah. It's a good weather so far. So, but yeah, it's confusing sometimes. You think we're getting into winter and, you know, some of us are excited when we get into winter because this is where now we become more active, you know, active in all aspect of life. All right. So yeah, no, welcome. And, yeah, so today, this morning we turn our attention to a significant development unfolding in the heart of West African Sahara region, and this is a very story that I've been following on the African news, and. I want you to picture this, you know, three landlocked nations in the heart of African Sahel regions. They have decided they had enough. Okay. They decided they had enough of being dictated to by regional powers, enough of economic policies that don't serve their interest. And enough of a colonial era currency system that many argue has kept them economically dependent for decades, for many years. So what we are seeing or what we are witnessing is nothing short of an economic revolution actually done in a slow motion, if you like. So now our discussion will unpack these critical issues and explore what they mean, not only for Sahel region, but also for the continent as a whole. Now, Let me take you back to September 2023. So while the world was focusing on the global crisis, something significant was happening in the Sahel. So where Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger, the three countries that have experienced military coups in recent years, came together to form what they call the Alliance of Sahel States, or AES, AES as it's known by its French acronym. So now, this was not just another, how would you call, another diplomatic handshake, you know? These three countries, these three nations were essentially saying they had lost faith in the existing regional order. So they were frustrated with ECOWAS, the Economic Community of Western Africa States, particularly its sanctions policies, their sanction policies, and what they perceived as an excessive external pressure on their domestic affairs. So the timing is crucial here. So all three countries are currently under the under military rule of following successful coups. So Mali in 2021, Burkina Faso in 2022, and Niger in 2023. So these were not, I think these were not random events. They reflect deep-seated frustration with governance in that region and security failures and economic stagnation that had plagued these nations for years. So by January 2024, these three countries had formally withdrawn from ECOWAS. ECOWAS is actually about 49 years old regional bloc that had been the a cornerstone of West African economic integration. So this withdrawal created immediate practical challenges. So ECOWAS reportedly had to dismiss 135 employees from AES, the newly formed, you know, those three countries. And complex questions arose now about ongoing financial commitment and cross-border infrastructure projects. So now, but here's where now the story gets really, really, really interesting. So rather than retreating into isolation, the AES has been, now this is now the Burkina Faso, Mali and Niger, has been moving at really, how would you call this? A breakneck speed. Eh? A breakneck. Someone referred to something that can break the neck. Breakneck speed. To create their own economic integration model. So, and I mean fast. So we are talking about changes that typically take regional bloc decades to implement. So, and they have done that in a very, very, very short time, a short period of time. Now, the first thing, they eliminated mobile roaming charges between the three countries. You know, when you go into other countries, if you ever traveled in Africa, for example, you know how significant this is. You know, communication costs have been a major barrier to regional trade and integration for years. And removing that definitely help to eliminate that barrier. So, yeah, they eliminated a mobile roaming charges between the three countries. So, and that's the first thing they did. The second thing they did, they are developing a joint passport system. And this might sound, how would I say it, bureaucratic, but it's actually revolutionary. It is revolutionary. It's a signal. It really signals their intent. They intend to create genuinely free movement of people. You know, something that ECOWAS, for example, the ECOWAS has been trying to achieve for many years with a limited access. So, which up to now they haven't succeeded in it. So, but, well, for three countries, it's much easier compared to how many other countries in ECOWAS. So, yeah. And the third thing they have done, perhaps the most importantly from a trade perspective, they have implemented a unified 0.5 customs duty on import from non-member countries. So this is economic integration 101, really creating a preferential trade terms for the alliance, for the alliance members, while presenting a united front to the outside world. I think that's definitely something that we Africa as a country, as a continent should actually come up with. So, and what particularly clever about this customs arrangement in that is that it exempts, you know, the WAEMU members. It exempts the WAEMU members, member states, that is the West African Economic and Monetary Union. So it's exempt that. So this creates an interesting dynamic where they are not completely cutting ties with their neighbors, but rather creating incentive to continue cooperating on their terms, you know? So that sounds more like Trump, actually. Excuse me. So, yeah. So they, in terms of the economic, they kept it. They still actually have, they allow that the Western Economic and Monetary Union, they can still actually have that, ties with their neighbor in terms of that block, of that section of economic, exchange between the countries or trade between the countries. Yeah. So now the other thing is that let's talk about what might be the most significant development yet. The creation of the Confederal, Bank for Investment and Development, known as, BCIDAE. You know, so with an initial that bank now with the initial capital of 500 billion CFA francs, CFA, what is the CFA stand for? It's like Colonial Africa, all right. That's francs. That's the money that's used by France, Colonia France, actually Africa, something like that. I think it's in French. So franc, it's actually like, this is the money that's used for Africa. Yeah. Colonia French or France's Africa or something. So this institution actually represents something much bigger than just another developing bank. So think about this, what this mean actually. So for many years, these countries have had to rely on international financial institutions like the World Bank, the African Development Bank, or bilateral donors to finance major infrastructure projects in their country. So this institution always come, and as we know from Namibia as well, they come with conditions, requirements, and often conflicting priorities. So the new bank represent an attempt at financial sovereignty. So the ability to fund their own development priorities without external interference. So whether it is building your road, power plants, telecommunications, infrastructure, or supporting local industries, so they want to control, the purse string, you know, your own, you know, you're in control of your own, you know, purse, strings. So, but there's also a challenge to this. Okay. Some experts indicate, here that there is a challenge. And the challenge is that the 500 billion, CFA francs, it sounds like a lot, but in development, in developing banking terms, it's actually relatively modest. It's actually nothing, actually. So, to put this in perspective, major infrastructures, when you do really major infrastructure, those major infrastructure can cost hundreds of billions. So hundreds of billions of franc, each of those, project. So the success of this bank then will largely depend on the ability to attract additional capital from the strategic, partners. So, and the search for these partners, is telling, we are talking about, according to the news, according to that article. So there, we are talking about China, BRICS countries and African sovereignty wealth funds. And notice this. What is not on that, on that list? So, we're talking about China, BRICS country, and we're talking about African sovereign wealth funds. And there's someone who is not actually on that list. Yes, you're right. The traditional Western financial institution and donors. So this represents a really a clear pivot towards what many calls south-to-south cooperation developing, south-to-south cooperation, developing countries working together rather than actually relying on traditional donor relationship. So, yeah, that is, and this is something that's actually just done within short period of time. Yeah, and things that Africa as a continent or the bloc, a core bloc, for example, or maybe do we have a regional bank, in SADC beside the African Development Bank? So, yeah. And, now perhaps the most intriguing, the very most intriguing aspect of this entire story is the possibility of a new common currency. So now, before we get too excited, let's understand what we are dealing with here. So currently, all the three AES countries, they use the CFA franc. So a currency that has been controversial for decades. Now, the CFA franc system essentially ties these African economies to European monetary policy through a fixed exchange rate with the euro, it requires those countries to deposit like 50% of their foreign exchange reserve with the French treasury. So, now, critics have long argued that this system represents a form of modern economic colonialism, so limiting this country's ability to conduct independent monetary policy and maintain a true economic sovereignty. Now, when your central bank reserves are sitting in Paris, you know, and your currency value is determined by European economic conditions rather than your own economic fundamentals. So how sovereign are you really, you know? And the statistics are really compelling. These three AES countries represent 75% of Waemu. Waemu's landmass and 50% of its population. So that is a significant economic block. So certainly large enough actually to sustain their own currency if managed properly. So, but creating a new currency is not just about actually printing banknotes. Just the word get out of my hand. So it's not just about actually printing new banknotes. It requires sophisticated financial infrastructure. So requires credible monetary policy institutions, and most importantly, the confidence of markets and citizens. Yeah. So the European Union, if we compare with now European Union, the European Union took decades to create the euro. It takes years and years to create the euro, and that was among much more. When you look at those countries, it was more among much more economically integrated and institutionally developed countries. So comparing now to these three countries, so it's something that may actually, you know, take some time before it comes to fruition. Yeah. And so what we have witnessed here extend really far beyond monetary policy and or regional trade agreements. So this is fundamentally about changing nature of international relationship in Africa and also the global south more broadly, if you want to put it in that context. So this country have been diversifying their international partnership in a dramatic ways. So they have cut military ties, as we have seen with Niger, and also with Burkina Faso. They have cut military ties with the Western powers and replaced Western military forces with Russian merchandise, mercenaries. Yeah. And especially with the Wagner Group, and this shift became particularly apparent after tension with Ukraine, so leading Mali and Niger to sever diplomatic relations with Ukraine entirely. So, yeah. So the response from traditional Western partners has been swift. Sweden, for example, cut several million worth of aid to Mali because of the ties that they cut. And severed diplomatic ties between those two countries. So this demonstrates how this geopolitical shift have really economic consequences as well. But here's what is fascinating. So rather than isolating these countries, their bold moves seem to create actually a new form of regional cooperation based on what experts called realpolitik, you know? So Ghana, for example, has appointed a former military officer with counterterrorism expertise as a special envoy to AES, so reflecting now a genuine interest in the security corporations. So, and Togo is actively courting the AES business, recognizing the commercial opportunity. So, these other countries within ECOWAS as well as that also continue to do business with this country based on this initiative. So even Nigeria, traditionally the dominant power in West Africa, has been engaging diplomatically with Niger to normalize relationship driven by the shared strategic and trade interests. So when your largest neighbor can't afford to ignore you, you know you are wielding a real influence. So, and this is what these three countries actually have done. So we can discuss the AES without really acknowledging the security challenges that partly motivated its formation. So the Sahel region faces an ongoing threat from various terrorism and those insurgent groups. So including the Islamic State affiliates and other militant organizations. So traditional security cooperation through ECOWAS and international partner hasn't been entirely successful in addressing these threats. So that's why the AES decided to, they felt that, you know, ECOWAS was not meeting their interest. So the EAS represent an attempt now to take control of their own security destiny. So we have seen a joint counter-terrorism patrol between Senegal and Mali, and a military exercise also involving Togo and the other countries as well, Mali and Burkina Faso and Niger. So this ad hoc bilateral security cooperation appears to be filling gaps left by the breakdown of traditional regional security framework. So, which seemed to be working for these countries. So, if we look at the article in terms of economic challenges and reality. So these three countries face a significant economic headwind. So they are landlocked. If you think they are actually landlocked, which makes trade expensive and complicated. They need access to ports in Ghana, for example, and in Togo and other coastal countries as well. So their economies are largely based on agriculture and mineral export, making them vulnerable to commodity price shocks. So research shows that in the broader Waemu region, inflation has generally been low and appears negatively correlated with economic growth. So this suggests that the traditional emphasis on inflation control may have come at the expense of the economic dynamism and job creation. So exactly the critique that the AES leaders have been making about existing monetary arrangement in the region. So the creation of a new currency system would need to then to address these fundamental economic realities, simply abandoning the CFA franc without addressing underlying structural economic issues would likely create more problem than actually it solves, according to some experts. So one area where the AES could make a real progress is infrastructure development. The region desperately need better transportation networks, reliable electricity, and modern telecom systems. So that's one area that I think this new a formed a block can make a difference. So with now the Confederal Bank for Investment and Development could potentially now fill the gap if it can attract sufficient capital and develop credible project management capabilities. So this bank now can be able to address those needs better. So, but the infrastructure development requires not just money, but also, technical expertise. You also need to have some kind of regulatory frameworks and definitely a long-term planning capabilities. So these are areas where international partners, whether now we're talking about now China or other African countries or traditional partners or new terms, will likely prove essential. We come back.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Welcome back. So, yeah, we continue with the ES. These are the countries that depart from ECOWAS and form a three countries block, if you like. So when you look at now the regional competition and cooperation in when this was established now, the AES, a departure from the ECOWAS, has created interesting competitive dynamics. So Ghana and Togo are now competing for AES trade and businesses, recognizing the commercial opportunity presented by the three large landlocked economies needing access to ports. So that has become an opportunity. So this competition could actually benefit now the AES countries by giving them more leverage in negotiation over port access, transit fees, and trade arrangements. So when your neighbors are competing for your business, you are in actually a strong negotiating position. So at the same time, practical cooperation continues out of necessity, joint border security operations, shared infrastructure projects, and continued participation in some regional institution like the West African Economic and Monetary Union. That suggests that complete separation is not practical or desirable actually for these three countries. So, and perhaps the most significant long-term implication of the AES experiment relate to the broader international financial system. So for many years, African countries have been integrated into financial system designed primarily to serve the interests of your former colonial powers and establish economic powers of the West. So the creation of institution like now the BCID AE, that bank, and potential new currency arrangement for these three countries represent an attempt to create an alternative financial architecture. So one design, and this one is completely designed by and for African countries to serve African development priorities. So this also align with a broader global trend toward financial multipolarity, where we are seeing the growth of institutions like the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, the BRICS development initiatives, and also the various South-to-South cooperations mechanisms. So the AES could potentially, you know, plug into this alternative network rather than relying exclusively on the traditional Western-dominated institutions. So now, it's actually worth considering now lesson from other currency union experience. The Eurozone, for example, took many years to establish and has to establish and also faced significant challenge during the economic crisis. So even then, it involved countries with relatively similar economic structures and strong institutional framework. So other African currency, other African currency union experiment had a mixed result. So the East African community has been discussing monetary union for years without implementation. And the proposed now West African Common Currency, ECO, has been repeatedly delayed. It hasn't been put in practice. So now the AES would need to carefully study this experience to avoid common pitfall. So inadequate fiscal coordination, weak institution framework, and insufficient crisis management mechanism are some of those that they are cautioned to consider. So one advantage then the AES has is the urgency born of necessity, that urgency. So when you have broken with the existing institution and face immediate practical challenges, there is a pressure to make new arrangement work quickly. So you have to make sure that it work as soon as possible. So this could potentially accelerate decision making and implementation in a way that is more comfortable. Incremental reform process often fail sometime to achieve. So in this way, because it's only three countries as well, so it could be easier. And that we start to see that as well in those countries, especially Burkina Faso in terms of that. Yeah. So however, this same agency, as others put it, could also lead to inadequate planning and institutional design flaws that create problems down the road. So the balance between speed and careful institutional development will be definitely crucial. So when it comes, let's step back and consider what we are really witnessing here. So the Alliance of Sahel State represent more than just three countries trying something new. So it is a test case, I think, for Africa. A test case for Africa's economic sovereignty in the 21st century. So will it work? That remain to be seen. The challenges are real. Limited economic diversification, security threats, infrastructure deficits, and the enormous complexity of creating a new monetary and financial institution from scratch. So, but success is not necessarily measured only by whether they created a new currency or achieve complete economic independence. So even a partial success could demonstrate the alternative models for Africa economic integration and inspire similar experiment elsewhere on the continent. So the fact that neighboring countries are taking the AES seriously, engaging diplomatically and commercially rather than simply dismissing their effort. So that suggests that this experiment has already achieved a form of success. So it shifted the regional balance of power and created a new opportunity for cooperation on different terms. So for the rest of Africa and the developing world, I think the AES experiment offers a valuable lesson about the possibility and limitation of asserting economic sovereignty in an interconnected global economy. So whether now they succeed or fail, they are writing a new chapter in the long story of African economic independence. So that is what it's all about. So that's the story. And what do you think? And especially of these countries, both those three countries are also under the military rule at the moment, and they all, you know, come to power through the coup. Yeah, but there are changes. There are really changes in some of these countries and the direction they are taking. And just highlighting some of the projects and direction the countries actually want to go. So yeah, what's your take of that? You are most welcome to come through. And our telephone number is 0833-66-091. So your reaction to that, or your just general contribution to that initiatives, or would call not initiatives, but you know, new way of looking at economic sovereignty in an interconnected global economy. So, yeah. What do you say? Our telephone number, 0833-66-091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Zeitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimeneha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konarahe tatu imu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Verbotia University September intake 2025. All programs are fully accredited by the NQA. A certificate in Health Science Foundation Level 4. 1 year program, full time all campuses, a certificate for enrolled nurse midwife, level 6, a 2 year program, full time in Windhoek, Kurenkuru, Kompat, Wavis Bay, Katima Muliro and Otapi. So certificate, diploma in environmental health science, level 6, a two-year program, a full-time in Windhoek, a bachelor of nursing, a midwifery science honors, a four-year program, full-time in Windhoek, Kurenkuru Compat, Wavish Bay and Katima Muliro, a postgraduate diploma in mental health nursing, a level 8, a one-year program, full-time in Windhoek, a postgraduate diploma in community health nursing, level 8, a one-year program, full-time in Windhoek. The application period started the 1st of May and ending 30th of June 2025. So for more information, call 061-225463, 061-225463 or 061-225462. So Vivace University, where everyone is an achiever. So welcome back. And so we have been looking at the three countries that that formally withdrawn from ECOWAS, and which actually then started their own economic integration, AES. These are country Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger. And as soon as they, you know, they take on this economic integration model, so they started to change things. First of all, the first thing, they eliminated mobile roaming charges between the three countries, and they started developing. They also started to develop a joint passport system, and also, and perhaps the most important one from trade perspective, they also implemented a unified 0.5% custom duty on imports from non-members, those who are not members. And they're also in that planning of actually creating a common currency for those countries. Well, those are the progress that and we went through some of the challenges and really digest a little bit of where this is going and what could be the challenges that would face these countries, and the possibility of economic ideas that they have, or economic priority, development priority that they have. So yeah, and everybody acknowledged that there were a lot of changes that actually done in a short period of time compared to what ECOWAS, for example, have been, you know, have been doing for years, and not be able to manage some of the things that these countries have managed in a short period of time. So, and that give us, it's a lesson that maybe other part of the continent can look at that as a different model that we that one have to look at and adopt as well. So it's a lesson that other countries or other part of the continent can emulate and learn from and see and develop further some of the of the approach these countries have done so far. All right. Our time is about 33 minutes past the hour of 8. You are welcome to come through. It's a Friday morning. And some people are still, you know, have not gone to work. They put in a leave for that day as well. So many people are relaxing, or they are maybe or traveling for a long weekend as well. Yeah. So wherever you find yourself, and you're listening to Eagle FM. We're happy to be in your company and keep you informed and updated with what is happening around you and around the continent and around the world. But we would also like to hear from you. We would like to hear from you. Participate, you know, take part into the show. As I said, this is your platform where you can also unpack the stories that really impact, not only our countries, maybe impact us as individuals as well. All right. Our time, 34 minutes, past 8, and, we go up to 9:30. And, it's a Friday morning. Quite a beautiful Friday morning. All right. Let's look at also another story the stories of Mitko. It's another story of, that actually coming through the, just hold on, go to the page to where it says, yeah. So the government actually spent, it's a story in the brief publications. It says the government has spent about 370 million on Mitko bailout since 2020. So I think we need to talk about this because, this is something that affect every single taxpayers in this country. So over the past 4 years, your government has quietly, pumped 730 million Namibian dollars into the Mitko Corporation of Namibia. Now, that is not a small number. It is not a small number. And we are talking about nearly three quarters of a billion dollar of public money flowing into a single state-owned enterprise. So this is the story, as I said, in a brief publication that government spent 370 million on Mitko bailout since 2020. So let me paint you a picture of what is being happening behind the closed doors. So since 2020, Mitko has been on a life support. Okay. So it's like, you know, like you're right in a hospital on the life support, and the government has been now the one keeping the machine running. It has been on the life support, and the government is the one that actually, you know, keeping it, saying, let the machine, don't switch off the machine, keep it running. So, out of that massive 370 million injection, and when you look at an eye-watering 519 million, that's 71%. So, went straight to paying off debts that Mitko couldn't handle on its own. So 70% of that money, 519 million, about 71%, went straight, you know, to paying off debts, debts which Mitko couldn't handle on its own. So, and the Development Bank of Namibia gave Mitko loans, expecting them to be repaid from profitable operations. But instead, taxpayers ended up, you know, footing the bill when the company couldn't make good on its obligations. So the remaining now 211 million was handed over as a grant just to keep the lights on and the processing floor running. So now, so when you look at this, this is not just numbers on a spreadsheet. So we have to think really seriously. This is about a fundamental question of how we manage our state resources. How do we manage our state resources, and whether throwing money at problem actually solve them? When we throw money to problems, it doesn't solve them. Now, so what make this situation particularly concerning is that Midco's problem, it runs much deeper than a temporary cash flow issue. It's not just a temporary cash flow issues. We are looking at a company where costs consume 97% of every dollar that comes through the door. Okay, let me put it simple. Okay, I'm going to put it simple in my understanding of a layperson. Okay, now, for every $100 Midco makes, $97 goes straight back out to cover expenses. So that leaves you now with $3. That leaves you now with $3 to either to invest in your growth, pay dividends, or maybe build reserves, whatever. So with only $3, it's only $3 to invest actually. So $97 goes straight back out to cover your expenses. So because it consume about 97% of every dollar they make. All right. So now this number, the number tells a blatant story of decline. There were some partial recovery between 2020 and 2022. The cattle slaughter volume crashed by 68%. So while the revenue dropped by 58%. So to put this in perspective, the company went from processing health, really processing health numbers of cattle, to operating at a fraction of its capacity. So, and there is issue of, when you follow the story, there is of the drought condition that hit Namibia during this period, created a complex situation as well. So initially driving up slaughter numbers as desperate farmers destocked their herds. So because of the drought, then leaving the industry struggled as health were depleted. Became a problem in terms of recovery. So by 2024, there was signs of a little bit also some recovery with over 65,000 cattle processed, generating 1.2 billion in revenue. That's a significant improvement from now 2023's 38,000 cattle and 765 million revenue. So, but here's the critical point. So even with this recovery, according now to this article, Midco remain a loss making throughout the entire period. So losses peaked at staggering, $205 million in 2022, before narrowing it to $68 million in 2024. So, And according to the article, the company's financial structure reveals fundamental operational challenges that bailout alone cannot address. So the employee cost represent the largest single expense category. So while finance costs have surged by 34% from 61 million in 2020 to 82 million in 2024. So this increase in finance cost suggests that the company has been borrowing heavily just to stay operational, creating debt spiral that ultimately required government interventions. We will be back after this commercial.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholics Imane Kakarunga, the Africans Selfwar Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-0063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back. This is Unpacking the Day, and my name is Michael Chiavelli, and thanks for joining us. Our time is about 47 minutes past the hour of 8, and the program usually goes up to 9:30. So, and we're talking about the government spent 730 million, you know, on Midco bailout since 2020. It's looking at that, you know, the increase in finance cost suggests that the company has been borrowing heavily just to stay operational and creating a debt that spiral that ultimately require government actually to intervene. Now, the debt situation became so severe that by 2023, liabilities represent 92% of total assets. So now, in my simple term, when that mean for me, like picture a house, a household where you, where your debts are worth more than everything you own, you know? So your debt actually is, it's worth everything, everything you own. And that's essentially where Mitiko found itself. That's basically what it means. So while this improved, to 67% by 2024, it was actually, that improvement was largely due to the government grant and loan repayment rather than actually operational improvement. So it was not because of operational improvement, it's because of the government grant and loan repayments. So, and adding to, and adding another layer of complexity to this financial crisis is the recent political drama. We have been reading in the newspapers over the, over a couple of months surrounding the leadership, changes at Mitiko. So cabinet has reportedly been attempting to force the return for the former CEO, Mwilima Mshokombaji, and despite the board actually decision not to renew his contract. So this intervention raises a serious question about corporate governance and the separation of power in a state enterprise management. So, and the situation has exposed fault lines within the government, with the former finance minister Ipumbu Shimi reportedly obtaining legal opinion supporting the view that the CEO appointment are the board's responsibility, not the cabinet's. So the political pressure surrounding Mushokombanji's potential return allegedly influenced by regional political consideration and business interests, so demonstrate how state enterprises can become pawns in a broader political games. So this governance crisis is particularly troubling, given that Mitiko was already facing calls for performance based management reforms. So the Ministry of Finance and Public Enterprises had an announced plans to link remuneration to performance across all state-owned enterprises. So especially targeting entities with poor performance record, like those struggling with substantial losses and higher wage bills. So yeah. So now, the despite its operational struggle, Mitiko remain heavily dependent on international markets, with export contributing 79% of revenue in 2024. So the European Union, they continue actually to be the primary destination of our meat, and accounting for 42% of total revenue, followed by Norway at 17%, and South Africa, our big brother, at 8%. So this export focus, while potentially lucrative, also exposes the company to international market of volatility and regulatory changes, as what happened with the American tariff. So Namibia's beef export did show a positive momentum in 2024, with over 22.7 million kilograms shipped internationally. So actually, you know, people are outside are eating better meat than us, you know. So yeah, that's that's include about 13.2 million kilograms to the EU. However, Mitiko's ability to capitalize on this market on this market opportunities remain constrained by its operational inefficiency and financial burden, according to the story. Now, the broader Namibia beef industry processed 362,718 cattle in 2024, representing a 19.9% increase from 2023. So yet, meat cost performance hasn't kept pace with this industry's growth, a raising question now about its competitiveness and operational efficiency compared to private sector's alternatives. So, yeah, we can now, all right. So now when you look at the other factors that, maybe the drought factors, the external pressures, you know, so yeah, meat cost challenges. We can now discuss meat cost challenge without acknowledging. We cannot discuss without really acknowledging the broader context of Namibia environmental and economic pressures. So you also have to look at that in that context. So the country has been grappling with severe drought condition, with the government declaring a state of emergency and launching a 1.6 billion drought relief program. So when you look at, you know, like dam level dropped by nearly 70% during that time, and cereal productions decreased by 53%. So that creating a cascading effect throughout the agricultural sector. So these environmental challenges directly impact cattle farming and meat processing operation as well. So the initiative spike in slaughter number during 2022, during 2020, was largely driven by the farmers forced to destock due to drought conditions. Now, this created an artificial boost in a short-term volumes, but ultimately weaken the industry foundation by reducing breeding stock and disrupting a normal production cycles. So now, when we look at the story also look at the broader implication for state enterprises management, the meat cost situation exemplifies the broader challenges facing Namibia state-owned enterprises portfolio. So with 81 public enterprises employing around 25,000 people, the performance of these entities has significant implications for the national economy. So many SOEs struggle with similar issues, substantial losses, high wage bills exceeding 55% of revenue, uncontrollable expenditures, and as we know, poor service delivery. So the 730 million bailout of Mitco represent a significant drain on public resources at this time when the government faces numerous competing priorities. So you have to consider that Namibia is currently seeking 482 million in addition funding to address drought relief for 1.26 million citizens. So the money spent keeping Mitco afloat could have significantly actually contributed to addressing this humanitarian crisis. So, or even, you know, diverted to other priorities, to other social service priorities, hospitals, schools, you know. So, yeah. So one thing that if the company partial recovery in 2024 suggests that with proper management and market conditions, it could potentially return to profitability. So as the article suggests, however, the recurring nature of its financial crisis and the political interference in its governance raise a question about whether continued government ownership and support represent the best use of public resources. So the government broader SOE reform agenda, including performance-based management system and integrated business planning requirements, may provide a framework for addressing Midco's operational challenges, according to the article. However, these reforms must be coupled with clear governance boundaries that prevent political interference in the operational decision-making. So the Midco bailout story serves as a crucial test case for how Namibia actually manage its state asset and public resources. So $730 million is not just a number, my dear. It represents schools that could have been built. It represents, as I said, healthcare facilities that could have been upgraded. So, or infrastructure project that could have been, you know, completed. So the fundamental question facing policymakers is whether Midco's strategic importance to Namibia's beef industry justify continued public investment, or whether the alternative ownership structure might deliver a better outcome for both the industry and taxpayers as well. So what is clear is that the current model of a repeated bailout without fundamental operational reform is unsustainable. So, and moving forward, Namibia deserves a transparency. We really deserve transparency about the condition attached to any future support for Midco, clear timeline for achieving self-sufficiency, and honest assessment of whether the company's social and economic benefits justify its cost. So the political interference in the CEO appointment must be also addressed, you know, to ensure that professional management and accountability. So, yeah, what is your take of this story? So is Midco actually going in the same direction as the Air Namibia? And that's not the only SOEs that actually getting bailouts from the government. So there are others as well. So what is your take on this? I would like to hear from you. So you can come through our telephone number. Then our telephone number is 0833-66-091. 0833-66-091.
Your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that Michael, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm all right, Michael.
It's a Friday morning.
Yeah, it's a Friday and it's a paid day.
you
might not even get a call because it's happy. People are so happy.
Yeah, no, they don't have problems yet.
Yeah, no. Yeah, there are no problems at all.
People only comes when they have problems. Yeah, no, that's when we come through or engage.
Exactly.
Yeah, for now we're having good times.
I'm telling you. My God, the issue of Mexico.
Yeah.
I think this is a political interference.
It's getting worse. When you look at the numbers, seriously, it's not something to celebrate about.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we have a politician interfering when it comes to the Mexico. Well, we are having a board which are representing the company.
Yeah.
And they are bypassing those, which I think sometimes there must be a limit when it comes to this politician.
Mm.
What they can do, what they cannot do. They sometimes they can even be taken to court.
Yeah, but the law is very clear. The law is very clear.
Yeah. But this individual, they must pay by themselves, not by the government, using government coffers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they must be sued individually. There must be a policy like that. Because these people, they were, look at the issue of even the transnational, it's the same. Mm. NBC, the same. They are always political interference. I'm telling you, can be a best CEO, but once, that's why we have people who are not even interested in those positions when they've been advertised.
Yeah, yeah.
It's because they know there's too much interference when it comes to politician.
And you never run that effectively when you have that kind of interference.
No, you can't. You can't because they always, the decision have to come from them. What to do, what not to do. Because look, you can't tell me that you cannot run even like it doesn't be affected. Well, they don't have any competition at all in the country. There's no competition for a transnational, but look how it is. It's been run down to the ground. And when you're talking about even Mitigo, it's used to one of the competitors, company, but look, after they start interfering, where Mitigo today it is.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, a lot of people they resign because there's too much interference. There are too much people who are saying this and this, and the people have been appointed with it to merit.
Yeah. And normally sometimes, I'm not saying those who are appointed are not qualified for, and sometimes these people, when you are politically appointed now, when the cabinet actually is insisting on one person, is because of their own interests. And that's why now the article also saying that
it's what's happening.
It's their own interests and business that they themselves, other people that that they have. And once you have someone who doesn't, support or not in the same camp, they you're worried that you may actually lose your those benefits.
Michael, not that long ago, if you remember the issue between the chief of police, what's this, city of Windhoek police, and the CEO of city of Windhoek. You see what it led to him, where he is today. Mm. But we are talking about people who are competitive.
Huh? Yeah.
And today, if you look what is happening there in Mitigo, there are people who are subtracting the government effort. Even though you can talk about what bailout. No, they don't care about bailout. They want to land that institution down, so they can have their own open. And this is what is calling the open. It's what is happening. No, we are not. Even a small kid can see what the politicians are doing to Namibian.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, there will be more trench. At the end of the day, who's going to complain about imprisonment? You find imprisonment and what people, a lot of people don't have a job in the street. It's a politician, but it's what he's doing. You know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Look, the already company open up to replace Mitigo.
Yeah, they are private one. They are the private one that already.
If you go deeper and then you check who those people
yeah.
in those companies are politicians. This is what I'm saying, huh? Sometimes in this country, I don't know if we are learning the country to prosperity and we are looking for the future next generation that the police, they cannot inherit the problem which we are having. But we have people who are just like learning the country, so maybe their generation can be somewhere in Toledo or in America somewhere, in Canada.
Sometimes we're just short-sighted. We don't look much of the, given if you actually where we are economically, we are more pushed to be short-sighted.
Exactly.
All what you think is, you know,
your own time. Tomorrow.
Yeah, your own
what
time.
What I'm going to eat tomorrow.
Mm. Yeah. So we run the country on that basis. Kishonoko kanyagi.
Yeah. But that's nothing as anyway.
Mm.
At all. It's nothing as anyway. Because if you look, the meeting or the way it is, meeting was doing fine. And now they jump in to interfere. It's just the same with what happened to Namibia. Later on, they said, we are going to liquidate Mitiko.
Yeah.
Because it's ineffective. We are too much bailout in and out. But who's doing it? It's ourselves. Look, we learn in Namibia down to the ground. We live in government itself is owing in Namibia. In Namibia is having your property and so on to sell, and then they can recover. But they are not given a chance.
Yeah, and they're thinking of a new airline again.
Hey, now what was the aim for you to cross that one down? I'm telling you, this country. If you have Ethiopian which are running their airline, the best, and they will have even kind of like where in the war like Sudan, just still having their airline, Zimbabwe, our counterparty, where their money can be useless, you cannot buy anything, but they are still maintaining their airline.
Mm.
And they have a country like Namibia with a lot of natural resources. We have a lot of attraction when it comes to tourists, but you are learning your airline down. What is this now? Liquidating your airline. It's what I'm telling you, that we have people who, I don't think if they need to be there.
Yeah. I think the biggest problem, one also have to look at this, and I think one have to, sometime you have to look as structurally, and also you have to look at what kind of culture are we building. Sometimes we're looking for a culture. Let's say, for example, giving an example in America. The focus in America would be your career oriented, which is actually a good thing. And and sometimes when you're career oriented, sometimes you forget things like family structures actually become they get destroyed. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So we are at the point where we're looking at like, okay, get rich quickly.
Yeah, individually.
Yeah, get
then
rich.
Forget about everybody around you.
And politically become as fair where I can do that. And I have 5 years, you know.
Yeah.
So I only have these 5 years.
5 years?
Yeah.
That I may get to.
I don't know what's going to happen in after 5 years. So in this period, let me accumulate as much as I can. You know, and then you become the priority rather than actually the country.
Mm, that's the thing now.
Yeah.
It's what I'm saying. In Namibia, that is a culture which we are adopting. Because if you look here, we are more to save one person instead of majority.
Yeah.
And it's what is then happening. Because if you look here, things which are happening in Namibia, it didn't have that a continuous program.
Mm.
But I'm saying like we have a mess house and the next president they come with Harambe. And now we are talking about oil and gas. You see now.
Mm.
How will we forget about even the issue of housing?
Yeah.
Huh? The problem is that we don't have a continuity program which are continuing in the EU. That's why in America, if America, you are having a problem with other country, like, let them say now, like the way they are continuing with South Africa, The next president also, if that problem was not solved,
yeah,
he will continue to have a problem with America, South Africa.
Hmm.
And eventually, they may end up winning it because it's a continuous thing.
Yeah.
But for us, we are jumping from one to another. We didn't finish that one yet. That's why we are having a lot of one development program. I mean, NPD, what, five, what, you name it. And we not, never know when we will complete even one.
They're chasing your own tail, you know.
Yeah, which you're not able to catch it because you are turning around. And sometimes I go dizzy, and you end up like what?
Yeah.
Mangwanas. And what's happening to us?
You're just chasing your own tail, and you know you're not getting anywhere.
We are not going anywhere, my friend. We are on the circle.
Yeah.
No. All right, let me end up there. Maybe somebody will come through.
It's all right, man. So
okay.
thanks for coming through, yeah.
Sure, man.
All right. Yeah, in many cases we end up actually chasing our own tail, and you never catch it. So, and at the end you become dizzle, and you know, and guanguanas. All right, our time about 15 minutes past the hour of 9, and maybe we can look where can I get this? We can look at today's edition of you're welcome to come through. Please do come through and have your comment or contribution on some of the things that we have covered today. So let's look at some of the stories that we have in today's edition of the Villager. On the front page, we have Lange Heinrich recorded a highest production since reopening. And this is a story by Nino Menavali Erastus. So the Lange Heinrich uranium mine has reported its highest uranium production for the first time for the first 3 months of 2025, quarterly figures, since. It's a resumption in March 2024. So according to the quarterly report from the owner of the mine, the Paladin indicated that production for the quarter was 745,408 for, I can't tell you what is that actually. So representing a 17% increase on the previous quarter I should have checked this before. Yeah. All right. So yeah, the mine has actually reported its highest uranium production for the first quarter in 2025. So, and, so the other story that we can find in today's, there's also another story by Patemoshera Lukolo. This is a story that new study links alcohol to increased risk of pancreatic cancer. So an international study led by the World Health Organization, International Agency of Research on Cancer, has revealed a significant link between alcohol consumption, particularly beer and spirits, and an increased risk of pancreatic cancer. So, guys, so I hope the beer drinkers and the spirit drinkers are listening. So, now, published on May 20, 2025 in PLOS Medicine, the study analyzes data from the nearly 2.5 million individuals across 30 cohorts in Asia, Australia, Europe, and North America. So firstly, the study found that for every 10 gram per day increase in alcohol intake, roughly equivalent to one standard drink, there was a 3% rise in the risk of developing a pancreatic cancer. So furthermore, the risk was found to vary by gender. Among women, those who consume 15 to 30 gram of alcohol daily face a 12 higher risk compared to a lighter drinker of maybe 1 to 5 gram per day. So among men, the risk increased by 15% for those drink 30 to 60 grams daily, and by 36 for those exceeding 6 gram per day. So however, the type of alcohol consumed appeared to play a role. So, and those alcohol that specifically are the beers, the beers has mentioned, beer and spirits. So those who are actually taking, those type of drinks. So, this is a new study, linking alcohol to increase risk of pancreatic, cancer. So please, this information worth really reading for. Make sure that you subscribe to The Villager by just sending, you know what, this is free. It's and it's sent to you for free. All you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message with your number and your email to 081-241-44, and you will definitely be able to receive your digital copy every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, yeah, so that's the other, stories that you can also, find in today's edition is the story of the equipment shortage hit the Shandingoro scheme, green scheme. So this is a story by Anacleta, Haikera. So the manager of the Shandingoro Green Scheme Irrigation Project, Mutero Joseph, has raised a concern over the persistent lack of essential agriculture tools and equipment. So saying that the shortage is significantly hindering production at the scheme, which is located in the Munkwe constituency of the Kavango East regions. So he made this remark on Tuesday during the courtesy visit by the Deputy Minister of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform, Ruth Masake. So, well, exactly, these are the issues. How do we then progress, really? How do we make agriculture priority when these issues persist? So that's another story that you can read for yourself. So there's also a story on Another story on Walvis Bay tax sector slam outdated permit system. So the Walvis Bay tax drivers have submitted their frustration regarding the outdated and opaque transport permit system, which is said to date back many decades. This is also a story by Nirunanye and Petrus. So the complaint, I mean an observation that has been noted by the Minister of Works and Transport, Veikon Ekundi, the minister have noted that, and speaking now to the taxi drivers at the meeting with the local taxi operators and the driver last Thursday, Nekundi concurred that Namibia's transport payment system is quite archaic. So now he said some permits dated back to the 1970 had long since outlived their usefulness and were now enabling exploitative practices in the sector. So yeah, so that's also an article. So the other articles also looking at the remembrance of the Namibia's and the world's first modern period genocide. And this is actually a story by Dwight Links. So Namibia's first inaugural commemorative public holiday of the 904 to 908 Herero Nama genocide took place on Wednesday, 28 May 2025 in Windhoek. The event was attended by foreign mission diplomats and various political and traditional and national leader. So the president, Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, and the vice president, Lucia Vetboy, were the guest of honor at this prominent event. So yeah, that's another story that you can find in today's edition of the Villager. Make sure that you subscribe to get a free copy of that. Yes, we also have another success story from school dropout to graduate, how an IUM helped me claim my dreams. That's a success story by that's Tulimo, France. But the story was written by Stefanos Pombili. And we also have another story by the struggles of the unemployed youth, a call for reform in government recruit practice. So by Hawa Namkwambi. So as a recent graduate and a member of Namibian growing population of unemployment youth, I speak on behalf of countless youth job seekers who face long standing obstacles when applying for government vacancies. So, and he go on to actually talk about what are those obstacles that they are facing, the graduates are facing. So make sure that you pick up your edition today, the Villager's edition today for all these incredible, stories that we found, in there. All right. Any other interesting story maybe basically those are some of the story you can expect from the Villagers today, and make sure, as I said, make sure that you subscribe or what you need to do. It's easy. It's a quite simple thing to do, and you will be able to receive this for free. You're receiving this for free every Monday, every Wednesday and Friday. So all what you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message to 08 241 44 08 241 44, and then you will start to receive your digital copy on those specific day. So our time, it's about 29 minutes past 9, and we go quickly for our commercial, and then after that I will say my goodbyes.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayaguro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende timemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashifareki uimopo yomo programa detu Moambo, dengera Selma, konara heta tuimu. Datunda tu, heari hamano tano, oniyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear or favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM in any of its.
All right, this is the time to love you and leave you. Our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 9, and that's bring us to the end of this episode of Unpacking the Day. So let's make this appointment again next week, same time on the same station here on Eagle FM. So, well, continue to listen to other programs that are coming your way. Coming up is Mind the Gap with Helmut, and after that, Sizuma, Salicho, and then, On the Radar, and then Onkundana Dengi. These are all programs that are coming your way today and the rest of them in the afternoon as well. So thank you for being in our company on Unpacking the Day. So until next week, I will see you tomorrow on Mind Matters around 11 o'clock tomorrow. So join me on Mind Matters tomorrow. And from now, for me, a goodbye and have a pleasant week ahead. A weekend, a pleasant weekend ahead. Goodbye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Uli mnangeshefa ni wahara kushivifa oma kuroe kupitira muhuriki radio station awayo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konora hetatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mamberewa konora hetatu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo mwane oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.